sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Text line you want to get in touch with the show. That's how you do so. You'll have to excuse me as I am still in the throes of what they call bronchitis. First time I've ever had that in my life. So we're going to persevere as the show unfolds. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon. And about 2 hours from now, News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery's April, Marie Fogel. So please stay tuned for that. Joining us now early today, we're very glad and very thankful he could accommodate to today's schedule. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing pretty well. I think a little under the weather like yourself after all the inaugural activities. I think you put that many people in a room and somebody's liable to catch something. But glad to be with you this morning. It's a pretty day in South Alabama.
It's going to be in South Alabama and not Montgomery. I'll just leave it at that. Speaking of Montgomery, Monday, I don't know. I asked one of your colleagues, I asked Senator Albritton earlier this week, but did you get much out of the governor's inauguration speech? There was some nods to education. Obviously, her big thing is economic development and jobs. But I guess we're going to have to wait and see for a clear picture to state of the state in a couple of months.
Yeah, I think that really is when the governor is going to outline the specifics of what her vision is. For these different areas that she touched on. You know, the economic development stuff is pretty clear in my mind. It's a reauthorization of the Jobs Act and a couple other things that I think the legislature is poised to do. The big question is going to be on education. She's mentioned that's her number one priority. She spoke very, very passionately about it. Of course, she's a former educator herself. The question is, what does that look like? When the rubber meets the road, what are we talking about? And how do we go about making those changes from the government side of things? And I think there are some solutions that the government can offer. Unfortunately, I think the lion's share of the problems that we're facing are parental involvement and, frankly, outside the scope of what the government, whether that's federal or state, can handle. But it is important to realize that we have serious problems educating our children, that we are turning out children that are not meeting standards, and that we need to do better at that and if we're going to have better success for our children in the workforce.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of ideas about how to approach that, but I think generally there is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Senator, but there is a consensus that there is a deficiency here. There's nobody really out there saying, "Oh my gosh, we have great schools. Why don't we tinker with something that works so well?"
No, you're exactly right. When I talk to larger companies on the Gulf Coast that deal with advanced manufacturing and have apprenticeship programs and things like that. And I ask about these things, how are they going? And the reviews are mixed, really. Some of them are doing very well, and some of the kids just aren't up to snuff, if you will. They aren't able to do the basic math. They aren't able to do the basic work that's required in order to be an employee. And that really should make us look at not just how we're educating kids and who's educating our kids, but really our methods, and are we doing that right? I'll tell you, the one thing that I'm really excited to see hit the ground is the new Baldwin Preparatory Academy there on Highway 59 in Locksley, a $70 million really career tech school that is not just saying, hey, we're gonna change the way, we teach our kids, but what we teach our kids, so that we're not focused on, Beowulf and Chaucer and Middle English. Not that there's not value in that, but that as we produce kids for the workforce, we're focusing on how to do the basic math that you're going to need to do, how to work with the equipment, the machines, the robots that you're going to need to use when you get out into the workforce, how to have the certifications that you already need so that you have a leg up when you go and hit the ground to fill many of these jobs. Our employers are looking for these kids. They're right here. We just need to do our job and educate them properly so they can go to work.
Yeah, and we've put a real big focus on that, right? Workforce development at that stage of life, that there was, I guess this is something we kind of stumbled across the last maybe 10, 15 years or so. And now I, just kind of looking at it, and you were a county commissioner, you know, when this really first started happening, but it seems like you're starting to see some of the fruits of this labor, kind of show up.
I think so. I hate this term, but I think there has been a paradigm shift in workforce development, workforce training, and that is really, truly letting the employer, drive the process. Say what it is that you need. And not have some PhD in education try to design a program that they think might work for employers, but rather have the employers say, no, we need kids, we need workers that can do X, Y, and Z, that can meet these skill requirements and that can operate these types of machines. And then let us see if we can partner with you to put those products, those machines, those robots, that technology in the classroom, and see if we can figure out how to make sure that once those kids a school, they know the difference between a volt and a gnome and an amp and why, and they can go straight to work. Look, in Baldwin County, we're growing like crazy. We can't find plumbers, carpenters, masons, electricians. Let's teach our kids right now how to do some of those things. They can be incredibly successful in today's market if they have those skills. Why are we not teaching those in high school? An awful lot of our kids are not going on to your colleges or to four-year colleges. It's incumbent upon us to teach those skills so that they can be successful in high school. And I'm really proud of what the Baldwin County school system is doing to embrace that in connection with our employers.
Beyond all that, the inauguration, you look down the line of constitutional offices, and I don't know, I really liked Lieutenant Governor and the Attorney General's speeches, and I don't know, it just seems like, you didn't, it wasn't very divisive. It was generally a good celebration, if you will, of Alabama.
Well, and that's what Inauguration Day is. It's a time to celebrate. It's a pomp and circumstance day, and then you get back to roll your sleeves up and getting into it. But yeah, I think the Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth really knocked it out of the park with his speech. Governor Ainsworth is a good, true conservative leader. He's passionate and he really energizes people. I mean, people want to follow him, and he does a good job with that. Attorney General Marshall, more of a firebrand with his speech, right? Talking about some good red meat issues. I thought he did a good job with that and a good delivery with that. You know, that office kind of constricts itself to legal issues, if you will. And he talked about for Alabamians. Of course, he does that in court as opposed to, where legislators and the lieutenant governor and governor may do that across a range of issues. But I thought his delivery was pretty sharp as well. So, overall, pretty good. I'm really excited about Wes Allen in the Secretary of State's office. I think he's going to do a pretty good job. I'm thrilled with that. So all in all, good day and good weekend. And now it's time to get back to work.
Well, something that you may or may not have heard about, Senator, up in Hoover, which is a suburb of Birmingham, baseball, Alabama High School Athletic Association controversy that we're watching unfold here. So, and you're familiar with it, the baseball coach coached one of his Hoover players at one of these national, play for your country tournaments. And now the wisdom, the people at the Alabama High School Athletic Association have determined that was a rules violation, and they're going to punish this baseball player, not this player, but this baseball coach. They're either going to punish the player or the coach, and the coach is going to sit out a year, apparently. But just more and more of a reason to really be dissatisfied with the state of who is governing high school athletics in this state, it seems to me.
Well, there's no question about that, and you and I have talked about this before, and I've been pretty vocal on this. Look, I don't want the Alabama legislature to run high school athletics. I think that's a horrible idea. I do think it's incumbent upon the Alabama legislature to get involved in this particular circumstance. I mean, think about what we're talking about just today and not all of the other issues we've talked about in the past, but you've got the Alabama High School Athletic Association going up against baseball, which is about as American as you can get, going up against kids playing baseball, going up against kids playing baseball for their country. I mean, at what point, how tone deaf can you possibly be? It just is surprising to me. I have seen over and over again, whether it's religious freedom issues, it's issues of playing for your country, it's disqualifying little girls from playing soccer because of something that some little girl's brother did. It is some of the most absurd things out there. And the most important thing, I think, for the High School Athletic Association to realize is that you really only get to govern with the consent of people you're governing or regulating. And that's about to come to an end, I'm afraid. I think that when you look at how this has transpired, you have lost the public's confidence. You've lost the members' confidence. You know, this organization is made up of its member schools. You had Superintendent Eddie Tyler questioning the integrity of this process, the members, and their executive leadership. Now, Coach Tyler is a coach and a superintendent of one of the largest school systems in this state. You have lawsuits over and over and over again. You have individual parents hiring private investigators to snoop on other members or other players from other teams. The environment this organization has created is untenable, and it is time for the Alabama legislature to step in and do something about it. Now, I would hope that the Alabama High School Athletic Association would be part of that conversation. I'm not sure that they will be, but I am confident that the legislature is going to look at this upcoming session. We have got to do something. What we've got right now is a complete mess.
Yeah, it's just these things aren't one-offs anymore. It's, you know, Oakwood Academy is not being told that they must play during a Sabbath or forfeit. And then in the Spanish Fort situation where, correct me if I'm wrong, Senator, but, you know, there were some people that wanted to challenge the AHSAA on that ruling, and the AHSAA went to the Baldwin County school system and said, you better not. And it's almost like they play like an, it seems like to me, Senator, they play an unnecessary level of hardball against coaches, parents, schools, players. It's just they're almost, the tactics seem almost to be a borderline bullying.
No, you're correct. And then the Spanish Fort issue in particularly, and not just threatening the coach, the athletic director, but the school system as a whole, you will do this. And if you do not, not only will it affect this child, this team, this season, but it will affect the school, the system as a whole for years to come. It is too much hardball. It is too much power, and it's wrong. It's wrong. You know, I've talked with the Alabama High School Athletic Association. They contend that they're not a state agency, that they're not a state entity, and that they aren't under any and shouldn't be under and can't be under any type of state control. You know, I counter with that. Your executive director receives state retirement. You receive state funds from your member schools, right? Your members are made up of state employees, right? The school system folks. And you play on public fields everywhere, and you're regulating largely public school children. All of that screams the ability to control that organization.
You guys are the state legislature. You can pass. I mean, I'm not part of state government, but you can pass a law telling me I can't walk out in the middle of the road and hold up traffic or something. I mean, you can pass a law telling these guys to do whatever, you know, because it's in the public interest. So I find that line of reasoning from these guys to be totally, totally like missing the point.
I think you're right, and I think they're going to find that out this legislative session. There will be a number of different pieces of legislation filed to deal with individual instances and then bigger picture issues as a whole. I don't think you'll see one bill. I think instead you will see a number of different pieces of legislation that will seek to do two things. One, highlight certain specific instances, and this one in particular with baseball is one of them. You know, you can't go and play and represent your country. You can't be coached by a coach that and represent your country. It's just absurd. So you'll see some things that deal with specific instances like that. And then you will see some that really make it clear that the Alabama legislature can come in and can control and can help with the rulemaking, if you will, on certain specific issues. And the only reason that this is happening is because of the atrocious, in my mind, oversteps and overreaches of the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
Well, it's also this. It's like they see themselves as not answerable. Like they don't have anybody that has any oversight over them, and that includes the governor. Because if you recall, Senator, But the governor got involved in the Oakwood situation a couple of years ago. I mean, they were so dismissive of the governor, which I just find that to be a tone deafness that's almost off-putting. That you know, maybe they have a case to be made that they don't have to answer, but sometimes it behooves them to respond to the public or respond to an elected official as such, and they are just so dismissive of any of you guys in state government, it seems like to me.
Well, and that's our job. At the end of the day, when we have our constituents, whether the governor's constituents or my constituents or any other member's constituents coming to us, laying out the facts of what's going on in a particular instance, shining a light on their circumstance and what's going on, and begging us to please take some sort of action to reconcile one injustice, two injustice, three injustice, you start looking at these things as a whole and saying, there's a real problem here. And again, I think the big issue is this organization has lost the public's trust. They've lost the trust of a lot of their members, their student athletes. And they are seen in no small part as a joke. And we've got to fix that so that we have an organization governing high school athletics that has the respect of the public, the players, the coaches, and that's something the legislature is going to have to take up. That's our job. It is not our job to simply sit back and say, well, we can't do anything about that, or, well, they're a private organization. That's not going to be acceptable for me, and I don't think it's going to be acceptable for the members or the governor.
Well, it's also this, Senator. It's like, okay, this is a rule, and they're enforcing the rule, but in retrospect, you'll say, well, why is this rule being enforced this way? Why did you not see a circumstance when a player may be in this position to go play for his country, and the coach may be at that level, too, that it's an honor to go do this? Why did you write a dumb rule as such that would wind up punishing something like this? And there's no accountability mechanism either, because what they say, it'll tell you, hey, we don't have to answer your questions. We're the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
Well, you pointed out the issue, and that is the interpretation of the rule, right? Those members make their own rules, and the High School Athletic Association purports to simply enforce the rules passed by its member schools, okay? Fair enough. But I think that what you see all too often, as you pointed out earlier, is the interpretation of the rules. What does the rule say? Well, it says one thing to somebody and one thing to somebody else, and that the executives at the Alabama High School Athletic Association take it way too far in their interpretation of the rules. And then, two, it's the tactics that the Alabama High School Athletic Association uses to gain compliance with their interpretation of the rules. So while they may have some quasi-democratic process in order to form the rules, it is the interpretation and enforcement of those rules which have led to the problem that we're facing today, and that's what we've got to address.
Senator, we're going to leave it there. Always, I hate party with good company, but we appreciate you coming on this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds great, Jeff. Thank you all, and have a great weekend.
That's State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.